Thank you, Brother Ben. The theme for our devotional service today is, as you can see on the screen, Exceeding Great and Precious Promises. Those words are taken from the familiar scripture in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those words, exceeding great and precious promises, are also the title of a booklet that was first printed over 50 years ago. It is organized, this booklet, much like the manna and the songs in the night, a scripture followed by a paragraph or two from the reprints or other of Pastor Russell's writings. The main difference between the booklet Exceeding Great and Precious Promises and the manna and songs in the night is that while manna and songs in the night are listed in date order from January 1st through December 31st, the booklet Exceeding Great and Precious Promises is listed in order as they appear in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. This afternoon, we'll examine some of those promises as they appear in that booklet, which begins with a four-page introduction that sets forth the importance of the promises, along with some recommendations on how to gain the most benefit from them. And I've boiled that four-page introduction down to three main themes. First, study and understand the promises. You can't benefit from what you don't know. You know, it was brought out in our study this morning that the Christian should neither be all head nor all heart, but a balance of the two. And I know sometimes my personal study focuses too much on the more intellectual head passages of the Bible, prophecy, symbols, types, and antitypes. But remember that scripture, our opening text, 2 Peter 1:4. By these, the promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Study them. Second, claim the promises. You can't benefit from what you don't have. I suppose we're sometimes tempted to think that, oh, those promises are so wonderful, they can't be for me. I'm not worthy of them. The promises belong to those who are more Christ-like than I am, more consecrated than myself. But our Father has said that these promises are to each and every one of His adopted children, and that should put an end to any doubts we may have. And third, rely on the promises. You can't benefit from what you neglect to use. Of the hundreds of benefits of the exceeding great and precious promises, I've chosen 10 for us to consider this afternoon. And among those many benefits that God has promised to all of His children are these: rest, joy, strength, courage, safety and security, guidance, comfort, enlightenment and protection, compassion, and joint heirship in glory. We'll read the scripture and comment associated with each of these promises, and we'll also sing two or three verses of a hymn or read a poem after each of the readings of the promise and the comment. So let's begin with the first of our 10 promises along the line of promised rest. Sister Dorothea Kalinske will read this for us.
My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:14. The Lord is ever present with His people. He is always thinking of us, looking out for our interests, guarding us in danger, providing for us in temporal and spiritual things, reading our hearts, marking every impulse of loving devotion to Him, shaping the influences around us for our discipline and refining, and hearkening to our faintest call for aid or sympathy or fellowship with Him. When God speaks of His presence with His servants, we are not to think of His being with them in His bodily presence, but by His Spirit and through His angelic messengers, sustaining, blessing, and guiding them. He protects them from whatever will harm them. He watches over their every interest and tenderly cares for them. Reprint 55:47, and the first one paragraph was 32:51.
Ah, my heart is heavy laden, weary and oppressed. Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest. Let's sing hymn number 3, the first and last verse. Hymn number 3, first and last. Our second precious promise is a promise of joy. Sister Lorraine Zook will read this one for us.
The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Our capacity for joy now is not what it will be by and by, but it is possible now to have our little earthen vessels as full as they can hold of the joy of the Lord. In such company as this, can any Christian fail utterly to realize some measure of the joy in the Lord? No, if his faith grasps the promise and holds it, the realization of joy in the Lord is sure to follow. And the more firmly his faith lays hold upon the promise, the more will he realize its fulfillment, and the more fully will his joys abound. For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, no matter what may be the conditions and circumstances. Reprint 1949.
The more firmly his faith lays hold upon the promise, the more will he realize its fulfillment, and the more fully will his joys abound. A lovely poem that describes this joy that we can and should possess is entitled Cause for Rejoicing from Poems of the Way, page 72. Sister Donna Whitaker will read this for us.
Cause for Rejoicing. He careth for you. What a cause to rejoice, for this is God's promise to you and to me. If we will but trust him with faith firm and full, the peace he has promised more constant will be. His word tells us over and over again, and his word we know is both steadfast and true, that he will direct us and keep us from harm, providing what's needful for me and for you. With infinite wisdom and bountiful love, plus unfailing justice, great power and might, our Father's great plan of the ages moves on, unknown to the world, deeply hidden from sight. Preparing the worthies of old is complete, our Master's great sacrifice carried out too, and now God is working in us day by day, completing the bright class remains yet to do. While earth's woes and troubles do daily increase, to us they but herald the kingdom's glad day. Then let us rejoice as we patiently wait, well knowing he's with us each step of the way. By keeping our minds firmly fixed on these truths, no room will be left for our worry and care. In fully accepting his will as the best, with joy let us serve him and thank him in prayer.
That last promise of joy said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy and strength were closely associated with each other in that last promise. And so our third precious promise is for strength. Sister Ruth Mitchell will read this one for us.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. This text suggests the proper frame of mind for all the Lord's people who are now fighting the good fight of faith. Though the situation may look dark and dangerous, and though the foes may multiply and perplexities increase, it bids them fear not. This consolation, variously expressed throughout the scriptures, comes with all its blessed potency, potency in our times of greatest need. Courage born of faith and strengthened by endurance cries with humble boldness in the midst of the deepest darkness of the most perplexing difficulties and in the midst of the wildest storms and most threatening dangers. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Reprint 1915.
Courage, born of faith and strengthened by endurance. Blessed Jesus, grant us strength to take our daily cross, whate'er it be. Let's sing the first and last verses of hymn 65A. 65A, first and last. It was interesting to see how many of these benefits of the precious promises are closely related and even identified one with another, as we just saw in this last one. Joy and strength are closely associated, and so too strength and courage are closely identified one with another. In commenting on another text, which we won't read, Psalm 29:11, it says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people." In commenting on that verse, Brother Russell says that in that text, strength means, in large part, courage. And so also in the same chapter as the last promise we just read, Psalms 27, we find our fourth precious promise, more of an exhortation, really, an exhortation to courage in the strength of the Lord. And Sister Josie Wessel will read this one for us.
"Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27:14. We see that the Lord has declared that his people shall not be especially protected along earthly lines. And if in his wisdom it is best in any way to bruise us and put us to shame, as was done with our master, we are to be of good courage, and he will strengthen our hearts, because we trust in him, we have confidence in him. We know that he is too wise to err, and that there must be a motive, a reason for the permission, whatever it may be. We know assuredly that the saintly ones are precious in the sight of the Lord, are as the apple of his eye, and thus we know that all things are working together for good to us. Reprint 53:30.
We are to be of good courage, and he will strengthen our hearts. Why? Because we trust him, we have confidence in him. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. Let's sing hymn number 63, verses 1, 3, and 5. Hymn number 63, verses 1, 3, and 5. Safety and security seem to be on the minds of everyone ever since the terrorist attacks began. But even the world's turmoil cannot rob the child of God of our fifth precious promise, safety and security. Sister Joy Candle will read this one for us.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is a buckler, a defense, to all those who trust in him. For who is God is mighty, save the Lord. Or who is a rock, a safe anchorage to our souls, save our God. There is no other one to whom we may anchor our faith and hope, but securely anchored to him, we may trust and not be afraid, and may sweetly rest under the shadow of his wing. The Lord liveth, and blessed be our rock. And let the Lord of our salvation be exalted. Psalm 18:46, reprint 3337.
Securely anchored to him, we may trust and not be afraid, and may sweetly rest under the shadow of his wing. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. My strong tower is he. To him will I flee. Let us sing hymn number 126, the first and last verse. 126, first and last.
Oh,
Our sixth precious promise is for guidance. Sister Millie Zatko will read this one for us.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Psalms 32:8. An earthly parent rejoices most in the obedience and promptly submissive child, for whom the word or look of reproof is sufficient to prune away the evil. And so also our Father in heaven declares his approval of those who tremble at his word, Isaiah 66:5. Such cooperate with God in the development of their own characters, noting that their own defects and seeking to correct them. Hearkening for the Father's voice of direction, instruction, or loving reproof, and ever seeking his approval smile, to this class, obedience and watchfulness, the Lord says, I will guide thee with mine eyes. Those who can be guided only by continual scourging are not of the overcoming class. 5th volume 233 and 34.
Such cooperate with God in the development of their own characters, noting their own defects and seeking to correct them, hearkening for the Father's voice of direction, instruction, or loving reproof. I'm sure you all figured out that somewhere in this devotional, along the theme of Precious Promises, we would sing hymn number 242, Precious Promise God Hath Given to the Weary Ones Who Try, Treasure to Lay Up in Heaven, I Will Guide Thee with Mine Eye. Let's sing hymn number 242, A Promise of Guidance, the first and last verse. 242, first and last. Our seventh precious promise is a promise of comfort. Sister Marcy Martin will read this one for us.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such to be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34:18. The houses and lands and carefully hoarded belongings may disappear under the sheriff's hammer. Friends long trusted may suddenly grow cold and turn their backs upon you and even become your enemies. The home you love must sometimes break up, the family be scattered or invaded by death. The love that glows upon the love that glows upon the home altar may flicker and become dim and extinct. How many have found the high hopes of youth and early life turned to ashes in a few short years or months? To all of these, the word of the Lord should appeal with special force when calling them to come to Him with their broken and their broken hearts. His love and His precious promises come like the sweet balms of Gilead to those who, sad and disappointed in the struggle of life, come to Christ for rest and comfort, for life and healing. Reprint 5862.
When we think of the precious promises, I suppose we first think of how they apply to us and how they can benefit us. And that's the three themes that I've been striking so far in our devotional. But there is a benefit in the precious promises, not only to ourselves, but also to others through us and our use of the precious promises. And a poem that calls to our minds the value of just a word of comfort or of cheer to others is entitled Just a Word from Poems of the Way, page 112. And Sister Wanda J. will read this for us.
Just a word of cheer, brothers, as you onward press, weary but undaunted, through this wilderness. Just a word of comfort as the way seems long and the sullen shadows round about you throng. Just a word of hope, brothers, when your feet are sore and the road seems ever rougher than before. Faint not, for our leader trod the selfsame way, and you know it leads you to the realms of day. Just a word of caution when before your sight stands the subtle tempter in a garb of light. Hold no parley with him. Now give way to fear. At the name of Jesus, he will disappear. Just a word to tell you, brothers, not to dread what the world in anger pours upon your head. And should persecutions come, your cup to fill, then be like the Master. Suffer and be still. Just a note of joy, brethren, as you near the goal and the sounds of Jordan beat upon your soul. He who all your journey proved a faithful guide, he will see you safely to the other side.
Sometimes just a word is what we need to get us through. And sometimes someone else needs just a word from us to see them through. Our eighth precious promise is a promise of enlightenment and protection. Sister Barbara Jesuit will read this for us.
The Lord God is a sun and shield, Psalms 84:11. Our text is a great encouragement to the David class, the beloved class, the anointed ones, the members of Christ. To these, the Lord God is both a sun and shield. He not only enlightens these, but he will not suffer them to be injured by the blessings which he bestows upon them. He will shield them from all enemies and everything that would tend to injure them in any manner. All things shall work together for good to those that love him, to the called ones according to his purpose. With such blessed assurances, then, we may look forward into the future with rejoicing and with confidence, trusting to have a share in the glorious rewards God has promised to the faithful. Reprint 42:19.
Son of my soul, my Father dear, I know no night when thou art near. Shield of my soul, though tempests rage, and against me hosts of foes engage. Let's sing hymn number 273, verses 1 and 2. 273, verses 1 and 2. Our ninth precious promise is a promise of compassion. Sister Janine Farrell will read this one for us.
His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. We have learned to know our God and to trust his faithful word. We have proven his gracious promises in many a time of stress and danger, and we know that he will not fail us. If we were to let go this hope, this anchor to our souls, we should be adrift upon a shoreless sea whose mighty billows would sweep us down to eternal death. A great time of trouble is now about to break upon the whole world, and any of the Lord's people whose faith and hope are not firmly anchored to the rock of ages, any who are fearful to trust his promises, will be overwhelmed in the storm. Shall this be our experience? Some of the Lord's real children will have their part in this great trouble time, yet none who are faithful, who are obedient, will suffer thus. These will be kept in perfect safety to the end of their course and will, we believe, be gathered within the veil before the great storm breaks in its fury. Reprint 5497.
We have proven his gracious promises in many a time of stress and danger, and we know that he will not fail us. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Let's sing hymn number 356, verses 1 and 2. 356, verses 1 and 2. Our tenth and last precious promise is for joint heirship in glory. Sister Sherelle Hagensick will read this for us.
And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans 8:17. The Christian has set before him the most noble ambition possible. God is calling from the world a people for his name. Before these, he sets the loftiest ambition. These are invited to become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is an ambition which inspires them to develop all the higher qualities of mind and character in order to prepare themselves for the society, friendship, and fellowship of the Heavenly Father and the Lord. Let us have this high ambition ever before us as an incentive to the most earnest endeavor to heed the word of God, of the Lord. The bride is to make herself ready, so these should seek to get ready themselves and to help others of the dear family of God. Reuben 51:85.
Well, brethren, this hour of devotions and our day of worship have come to an end. We've considered out of many hundreds and even thousands of benefits of the precious promises, these 10. Rest, joy, strength, courage, safety and security, guidance, comfort, enlightenment and protection, compassion, and joint heirship in glory. I'd like to return one more time to those three themes that I mentioned at the beginning of this hour that were part of the introduction to the booklet, Exceeding Great and Precious Promises. Once again, those three themes were to study and understand the promises. You can't benefit from what you don't know. Second, claim the promises. You can't benefit from what you don't have. And thirdly, rely on the promises. You can't benefit from what you don't use. And along this last line of using the promises, I want to repeat once again a point we made, that the benefit of using the promises will be not only to ourselves, but for our fellow travelers along the narrow way with us as well. And as a final reading, on the point of using all the exceeding great and precious promises, not only for our own benefit, but also for the benefit of others, our brethren, we have a poem entitled At Day's End from Poems of the Way, page 111, and Sister Pat Artis will read this for us.
At Day's End. Is anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? The day is almost over and his toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a kindly word of you? Can you say tonight in parting with the day that's slipping fast that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does the man whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God will say, you have earned one more tomorrow by the work you did today?
May the promises be yours, and by these may ye be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's rise and sing in closing a one-verse hymn, one that we don't often sing, number 16A. It's a parting hymn. The melody is number 16, but the words we will sing are number 16A, one verse only. Let us rise.
May we know the pain.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee once again at the close of this hour and of this day, thankful indeed that Thou hast gathered us apart from the world and its cares to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Thee. We praise Thee, Father, for Thy wonderful character and Thy marvelous plan, and we thank Thee that Thou hast privileged us to have a knowledge of this plan and of Thy character in advance of the world of mankind. We pray that Thou would overrule anything said, not in accordance with Thy will this past hour. We pray that Thou would guide us, bless us, help us to appreciate more and more each day the precious promises in Thy word, and to rely upon them and to use them to strengthen us, give us courage, give us peace as we walk in accordance with our covenant vow of sacrifice. We pray not only for ourselves here, Father, but for all Thy children the world over, and we pray for the full manifestation of Thy kingdom throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.